Hello, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles 16. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from going out or coming in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who lived in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me, as between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent you silver and gold. Go break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." So Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel. They conquered Ijon, Dan, Abelmaim, and the store cities of Naphtali. And it came about when Baasha heard it that he ceased fortifying Ramah and stopped his work. Then King Asa brought all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber with which Baasha had been building, and with them he fortified Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may strongly support those hearts whose heart is completely his. You have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, you surely have wars." Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, and he was enraged at him for this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And now the acts of Asa from first to last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe, yet even in his disease he did not seek the Lord but the physicians. So Asa slept with his fathers, having died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own tomb, which he had cut out for himself in the city of David. They laid him in the resting place, which he had filled with spices of various kinds, blended by the perfumer's art. And they made a very great fire for him. Amen. So, you have to remember what's happening. Remember in the last chapter, a lot of people from Israel moved to Judah. And because Asa had followed the Lord, because there was peace in the land, because they were able to worship God freely in the place where he said that they should worship in Jerusalem, a huge group of people started migrating to Judah. And so Baasha becomes very, very alarmed by this. And so what he does, he takes the city of Ramah. If you understand the topography of Israel, Jerusalem is up on the hill. Ramah is actually the high road that goes from Israel, the northern kingdom, southern kingdom. So it's coming down. And so what he does, he fortifies the city of Ramah. Now notice, there wasn't really any fighting. I mean, I should say there was fighting, but he was basically getting ready to fight. There's nothing that was happening there. So he's fortifying basically the high road into Jerusalem so that no one is able to enter in either. And predominantly, it wasn't to keep Asa's people out. It was actually to keep the people of Israel into Judah. And so obviously, Asa sees this as a sign of war. And so what does he do? He goes and you would think that for a man who's following God's heart, you would think that he consults the Lord, but he doesn't. And this is the a tragic mistake that's made. And instead, he goes and he seeks after King Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, and he takes out the silver and the gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and also in his own house. And so if you can imagine why the prophet comes up and gives such a stern word, is that not only does he not seek the Lord, but he uses God's stuff. He takes from the things that are in the house of the Lord And he takes them as a tribute to pay for this security. Now, I mean, number one, God is able to secure Judah by far. And in fact, the seer, Hanani, is really basically lays it out pretty clearly that, man, it's like, you know, God gave you victory over the Ethiopians and over the Lubim, and yet this small army, you basically sell and give away the things in the house of the Lord for that protection. And you can see why the words of the prophet are so harsh. Actually, it's not even that harsh, to be honest. It's just common sense. And so, you know, you read the story. So Ben-Hadad agrees, and so he conquers the armies of Israel. Now, remember, the armies of Israel are Asa's brothers. And so, I mean, can you imagine having, I mean, not only taking material from inside the house of the Lord to pay off a tribute to for a treaty, but then you actually make war with a foreigner to, you know, or a treaty to make war, the foreigner make war with your brothers. I mean, that's pretty crazy when you think about it. And so, but that's exactly what happens. And the prophet turns to Asa and says, man, you've done wrong here. It says, you know, and this is verse 7. Because you relied on the king of Aram, have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. In other words, what God was saying is that God, that the Lord wanted to give you victory. The Lord actually wanted to give you even more territory. He didn't want you just to secure your land that you have, but he was actually going to give you victory even over Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram. And he didn't do that. And so, you know, actually one of my favorite verses, verse 9. He says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. But you have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, now you will surely have wars. So this is the great promise of God. He says his eyes move to and fro throughout the whole earth so that he could find people that he could trust. He could find people that he could strongly support. Isn't that an incredible promise in the scriptures? That if we put our trust in God, remember Asa put his trust in King of Aram. He didn't trust in God. He trusted in a foreign leader. And he says, but if you would trust in the Lord, God would come alongside and strongly support. This is also very similar to the words that the prophet Azariah had. He said, you know, very simply, that the Lord is with you, that when you're with him, and if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. In other words, this would be the consequence of sin. And so, obviously, he doesn't follow through with that. And then Asa, next thing we know, you know something is going on in his heart because next thing you know, he's angry at the prophet. It was never like this before. It's interesting, you know, it's like, it's kind of the fickleness of people. when they receive a good prophecy, man, they're really happy, aren't they? You know, they're like jumping for joy. But then when they receive something that's kind of not so good, you're like, that guy's not a prophet. You know, I mean, that guy's a clown. This is ridiculous. I remember years ago, and I was actually speaking at this retreat, and this is up in Toronto. And when I was speaking at this retreat, the other guest speaker had a woman that kind of lived with him, older woman, really well known, especially among Korean American circles. And you know, she was a grandma. She was very prophetic. And so she'd been praying for everyone throughout the retreat, and so I, you know, I waited my turn, and I finally got some time with her. And so she came. I remember what she did. She came and she I was sitting down, and you know, it's at the end of the retreats. So I was very respectful. I made sure, because you know, I was a speaker, so I made sure that all the people that were there received their word. And so it was my turn. So I went, and you know, I sat down, and she laid hands on me, and it seemed like it was hours, but it was probably only a couple of minutes. And then all she said, she turned to me, and she goes, "Busyness is laziness." And that was it. I was like, dude, I waited like 2 days for this. Busyness is laziness. And then she walked away. And I was like, in my flesh, she ain't no prophet. You know, I mean, this is ridiculous. This doesn't work. I mean, interesting enough, I knew exactly what she was saying. And it actually was very prophetic because at that time I was so busy. And, you know, I'm just traveling around the world, doing ministry, speaking at conferences. I mean, all kinds of things. And just reminded that that's not the most important thing. You know, the most important thing is spending time with God. And probably during that time, I probably replaced spending time with God with ministry. And so it was a really good word. But I tell you, when I first heard it, I was like, very dismissive. Now, Asa's not even dismissive. Asa's angry, and he's so angry that he throws Hananiah into prison, and he's enraged. And then it says, at the end of 10, it says, he's also oppressed some of the people at the same time. There's really no, throughout the rest of the text, there's scriptures, there's no real who it was or why he did this, but most likely, the idea is that it was people that supported Hananiah. And so, and he put them in stocks, basically, you know, like the typical things that you see, basically is in the house of stocks. And so he imprisoned these guys and immobilized them. And then, I mean, gets even worse in the 39th year. So remember, this happens in the 36th year. And so a few years pass by. In the 39th year, seemingly, I mean, we don't know this completely, but he gets gout, you know, a disease in his foot. And this disease, if you read this, his disease was severe, yet even his disease did not seek the Lord. So the severity means that he got the kind of gout that just didn't stay in your feet. The severe is probably best translated, moved upward. And so it started ravaging his whole body. Now, I've never got gout before. But I heard it's crazy painful. I mean, I was actually sitting in a doctor's office, and they you know, they have these big pictorial books on body and stuff. And I opened up one of them, and I saw actually a microscopic view of gout. And oh wow, it's crazy! It's like the blood vessels turn into like icicles, and it was like razor sharp. And so as the blood is flowing down your body, the sharpness is hitting all your nerves. I heard it's incredibly painful. One of the guys at our church who has gout told me that he couldn't even put a blanket over his feet. I mean, can you imagine how painful your feet is? I mean, if he just even anything touched it, even put a blanket over his feet, it would cause a tremendous amount of pain. You can't walk, all kinds of stuff. And even in the midst of that, now his body is happening all over. And instead, again, he did not seek the Lord, but he sought the physicians. Now, these physicians, again, are not just doctors. These are most likely the Egyptians. And the Egyptians at this time were known as the best doctors. But a lot of their medicine was superstition, incantations, chants, talisman, you know, all kinds of different things. And so, like Asa we recognize it is hard, in whatever reason, is so turned away from God that even in his distress, he does not seek the Lord. And it's a really sad, sad end to a life that started really, really well. I'm reminded of Pastor Scott Oh this Sunday, his message. And if you remember, in three services, he said, it doesn't matter how you start. What matters is how you finish and how you end. And that's really the key. It doesn't matter how you start this whole thing. It matters how you finish. And we see kind of like Asa is kind of a cautionary tale 25 years he lived with tremendous amount of peace. He followed the Lord. Now, I honestly wish the Bible would tell us a little bit something about exactly what happened to him during this time, but it doesn't. But something began to move and shift in his heart. And sometimes, maybe, I mean, most likely he got very, very complacent. Sometimes when things are really good and there's no emergencies and these kinds of things, we as sinful people were prone to become complacent and not seek the Lord. Maybe that's what happened with Asa. But he trusted in other leaders. He trusted in a different army instead of trusting in the Lord God, which by scale, it is ridiculous. You got this tiny army of Israel only fortifying one city so people don't come in. It's actually not really a threat in that way. It's just people are just prevented from coming in. And of course, going out as well, but that's not the big threat there. And then what does he do? He calls out for Ben-Hadad, and he doesn't trust the Lord. He doesn't rely on God. And this is a cautionary tale, but brothers and sisters, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. What areas of your life are you trusting in your power or power you can harness from other people? You know, are you trusting in your bank account? Are you trusting in your parents? Are you trusting in your bosses? You know, what are you trusting for your life? Are you trusting in your intellect and your abilities? Are you trusting in your connections or your wealth? You know, what is it that you're trusting in today instead of trusting in the Lord God? And Asa trusted in a foreign army. I mean, would not God, I mean, think about it. This is what the prophet is saying. God gave you such an incredible victory over the Ethiopians and other groups, the Egyptians. And yet for this tiny army, you go and not trust in the Lord? I mean, how ridiculous is that? And so think about those things that you're not trusting God in. Wouldn't God work on your behalf? Aren't the eyes of the Lord moving to and fro throughout the whole earth that he may strongly support those hearts that are his? And isn't that what the prophet is saying? That, in other words, God's desire, God is not passive, God is active. He is actively looking and seeking and finding those people that will trust him. And if he finds them, he says he would strongly support them. Isn't that what God's heart, isn't that what the Father wants in our life? We, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will our Heavenly Father give to those who ask? And so let's close our eyes today. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit whisper in your heart. What are you trusting in today that you cannot trust God in? Maybe it's for your job, your family, your future, your finances. Isn't God able? Or are you trusting in something else? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And as Pastor Andrew leads us in a song, let's meditate on that today. Let's pray. Let's dethrone whatever those things are that we're trusting in the Lord. Let's take down whatever those things that are in competition with our trusting in Him. If it be our own abilities, our own power, or the power that we can harness from the outside, let's ask God to move. Let's repent for trusting in other than the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community. They're battling through cancer and going through therapies. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to bring that healing word. If we can particularly pray for Calvin today, he's taking a scope to see exactly what's going on with his tumor. If we can just literally pray for him. He's at the hospital today. And let's lift him up and his family, and let's lift up all our friends and families here. Let's pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing, and let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's open door and His provision. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for China, and let's ask God to breathe His Spirit over this land. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu, his family. Pray that God will continue to protect them, and also pray for SP Shanghai. Bless Pastor Ricky and his family, and you know, he found a good apartment. They're going to start meeting soon. They just finished fasting. Let's just pray that God will be very clear with the next steps and bring the community around to start this new enterprise. Let's pray for the Chung family. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. And just continue to lift up the churches. Particularly, a lot of them are being persecuted these days. And let's just pray for God's hand upon them. Let's pray for our board. Let's pray for God's hand upon our leaders. Let's pray for protection over their families. Pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation as they pray and seek God's face to lead our church. Let's lift up. If you could also remember, particularly pray for Sue, who's pregnant and in Korea. Pray that she would be able to rest well before she gives birth soon. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries, our young adults, the Yaman and Yahweh Eats. Let's pray for our men's ministry, our Monday prayer, our women's ministry, particularly the retreat that's coming up this weekend. And also, all these ministries are sponsoring event this Friday night. Let's just pray for God's hand to be with us. Pray for Lena. She's flying in today. Pray for the Lord to really use her and Lisa at the retreat. And on Friday night as well. Now let's lift up these ministries. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for our building and our resources. Let's pray for a benefactor. Let's ask God to continue to multiply the vision fund. And let's pray for our next home. Let's pray for house churches tonight, Blue Pool, Causeway Bay, EastEnders, Lion Rock, New Condor, Robin Hood, and TST. Pray for our leaders, pray for our hosts, pray for every person that comes, that they would just really meet with Jesus and really learn to love Him and love one another. Let's lift up. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, God. We bless you this morning. Lord, come and be glorified. Lord, we pray that we would put our trust in you and you alone, God. Lord, some trust in horses, some in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. I pray, God, that our reliance would be solely on you. Forgive us, God, when we place it on other things, Lord, because you're more than able, more than capable, more than willing, God, to turn things around in our life, Lord, to strongly support, nor when our hearts are yours. And so we thank you for that, God. We love you, God. Watch over us today, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.